Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Nation. I'm JT. My second-in-command, Dr. Dave's out polishing his car again. It's wintertime. He's got to wash it every day. We are coming to you live from the radio world in downtown Portland, and we'd like to welcome all of our affiliates on the Radio Northwest Network. Okay, so it's a brand new year here on Barbecue Nation and on the network. We have some fun things ahead for you listeners and the show. More on that a little bit later. But this week, to start off the new year, I want to welcome back Lene Oxley-Loop from Sugar's Barbecue. You might remember that because Lene has been a star on Pitmasters before. That was a couple of years ago. And now she's made her debut on Chopped. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Our music this week, Johnny Cash, The Man in Black. Yeah, she got a thumbs up on that. Lene, welcome back.
Thank you. Welcome back. Thank you for having me. It's awesome to be here. I appreciate you taking the time out and having me.
No problem. So how did you get picked to be on Chopped?
They kind of seek you out and they give you a buzz and you kind of apply and they do a Skype interview and then you wait and you wait and you wait and you either get a call yay or nay. And that's pretty much how they get you on there. You have to have an open schedule for their film dates. They kind of ask you ahead of time. And sometimes there's an open call for the casting call for different kinds of disciplines with cooking and that sort of thing. So sometimes it'll ring with what you do and then you can apply and then they'll get you on, you know, if you pass through all their filters and stuff. So they're looking for specific kinds of people, different dynamics, what will look good on the TV show, on film, that sort of thing. So they're very picky about who they pick out. So they sought me out a couple times, actually, and I was able to actually get on this time. So I was really excited to get on. I've wanted to go on Chopped for a long time, even in the Pitmaster days. But pretty much when Chopped was in its infancy, I thought the game show was just an awesome, awesome concept.
I think once you're in that realm of television, I think it's easier than... Because you've had experience, you're comfortable around cameras, microphones.
Absolutely, yep.
Lights, all that stuff. Yep. Producers running around bothering the hell out of you.
Yeah, that's actually, that's never bothered me. And I knew kind of where I was supposed to go and what I was supposed to do. The procedure really doesn't change. Miking is miking and cameras on booms, you know, swirling around your head and up and down and this and that and GoPros everywhere and guys with cameras on their shoulders. Getting right tight shots of you in a pot and, you know, doing something.
Sure.
That doesn't really bother you. That doesn't change. It's just the location and the actual like subject matter that kind of changes. But I like it. I have a lot of fun with it. I always say that it's the same thing. I'm there to look good. I'm there to cook good, not look good.
Yeah.
I end up being a sweaty mess at the end of the whole thing. But it's the charge is just amazing. It's really, really cool. And it's fun because I haven't really been in a commercial kitchen like a hot line commercial kitchen in a restaurant in a good many years, and so it's fun to be under the gun a little bit and really stretch your limits with what you can do and your scope of talent, which is good.
You know, NBC called me to do a show about 4 years ago, Food Fight. They wanted me to be one of the judges, but to be a judge you had to participate too and some other stuff. Anyway, I was too neat. That's the first time in my life when we did the Skype interview and stuff, and they said, well, are you messy? And I said, well, yeah, everybody makes a bit of a mess in the kitchen, but I don't throw pots and pans around or anything like that. And they get policed up pretty quickly. Okay, check. That was it.
Not dissimilar to what it was like on Pitmasters where, you know, and this was years ago where you know, a lot of the teams, people know each other.
Right.
They have a lot of respect for one another. And there were times on the set where we would just be concentrating on what we're doing. It's a game show. This is a contest. This is a winner take all, 50 grand, 10 grand, whatever
sure.
it happens to be. And we want to win. So we're going to be concentrating on what we're doing. And one of the producers would be like, guys, come on, like start talking, start like throwing each other under the bus, you know, like,
yeah.
And we all had such a mutual respect for one another that none of us would really talk any crap about anybody else. So it was kind of, you know, encouraged to kind of just be a little bit more jovial between the two of us and between the teams. And so so it's not definitely dissimilar to what you were just saying.
Yeah, I know on the deep fry masters.
Inventing drama.
Deep fry masters, you know, they wanted all these guys, except three of us, were from Texas. They were all already affiliated with the Texas State Fair. They mm-hmm. knew each other. Mm-hmm. The judges were other concessionaires from the Texas State Fair. So there was three of us that were kind of the odd man out. Mm-hmm. One was a barbecue guy from Pennsylvania. Another was a guy from Houston that owns a chicken fried steak restaurant, which I've eaten at down in Katy, really good, and me. And they were saying the same thing, you know, kind of like throw some crap at each other,
sure,
you know,
sure.
do all that. I don't know these people.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable doing that when I don't know these people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like that. So anyway, we started singing a song and then we got in trouble, so we quit. Anyway.
They want to make TV interesting.
Yeah.
They don't want, you know, from the people that are watching it, you know, the viewers, myself included, I want to see something that's interesting. I look at it from a different angle. I'm looking at it to see what these people are doing. And now that I've been on reality TV a couple of different times, I know kind of how they edit it. And I know the order and the filming
sure,
order and,
sure.
and what things happen at what point. And so it's interesting to see how they package it up.
Now you shot this in New York?
Yeah. So I was, I flew out in October, beginning of October, to New York and, stayed in Upper East Side. The Chop Studio actually is in East Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a sort of a nondescript street. You would never know that it exists there. And, I stayed in a little condo that was near there. A little townhouse that was near there, and so filmed up there.
Did they put you up, or you have to take care of that yourself?
They give you a stipend. They can give you a little bit of money. They don't pay you at all.
Right.
If you win money, you win money. That's one thing. That's a contest. But they don't. No, it's you're pretty much footing the bill for most of it. You know, minus a couple of few hundred bucks. But the trade off is that the advertisement that I get for Sugar's Barbecue, my business, my baby, is immense, and I could
sure.
not pay for national TV.
Right.
commercial,
right.
you know, spot, especially on Food Network. I mean, way more people see Food Network than they do Destination America
yeah.
with Barbecue Pitmasters. So the trade-off is that the Food Network cranks Chopped out like crazy every day. There's new show every single day. So my show would just be in the bottom of the, you know, would just get,
sure.
get you know, blend in with all the other shows that were there too. But I'm hoping that they'll repeat it a couple of different times.
Oh, they will.
So, yeah.
They will.
Yeah.
They'll do that.
So,
did you have any, we got about a minute and a half here before we got to go to break.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any reservations about doing this? Because it was kind of a little different than Pitmasters.
Not any reservations. You know, with Pitmasters, I got all the way to the final and came in second place.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got all the way to the finals and I came in second place. And so I didn't have one reservation at all. The way I looked at it was even though there was a different show, different format, I had another opportunity to really like show the scope of my talent.
Right.
And try to get to that final again. And this time win. This time it was personal. And so no reservations at all. It was just a matter of time on my schedule, which I did have at that time. So.
Third time's a charm.
Third time's a charm. We'll see what happens with it.
That's good. We still got a minute left so we can do that. Tell mm-hmm. us about Sugar Babies really quick.
You mean Sugar's Barbecue?
Sugar's. Yeah, oh. Sugar
so,
barbecue.
Yeah, I
sorry.
Own Sugar's Barbecue Catering. So we're just strictly strictly catering and, I'm sorry. I own Sugar's Barbecue here in Portland, Oregon, and now Battleground, Washington. Catering and private events. We're not a restaurant. No walk-up service at all. It's just give me a call
sure.
and I'll cater your party for you. And wedding and reunion and rehearsal dinner. Company picnic, anything.
There
so,
you go.
Yeah.
I knew that. I just wanted to get that in there.
Absolutely.
So I didn't forget it this time.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jeff.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Lene Oxley. We're going to be talking more about Chopped right after this. Don't go away.
Chop, chop, chop.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash. I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around a bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps a-rolling on down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with Lene Oxley. Is it Loop or Lupe?
It's Loop.
Loop.
Lene
okay.
Oxley Loop. My married name.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If you have any questions, you can email us at Barbecue Nation. That's BBQ Nation at KXL.com. Barbecue Nation with JT on Facebook. Also, pull out a couple of our affiliates and recognize them today. KSEY in Seymour, Texas, and KPNW down in Eugene, Oregon. Sorry, I got my nose itch there. It's like, I don't know why. So tell us, what did you cook the first time for the first segment of Chopped?
It hasn't aired yet, so I can't tell you.
Oh, okay.
I cannot tell you how I did, and I can't tell you what I cooked.
Okay.
But there's some wild stuff in that basket. So I'll tell you what, going into this show, I did a lot of preparation. I did a lot of studying, kind of jamming for a final exam, if you will.
Sure.
I binged watched about 36 hours worth of Chopped. I'm not a TV watcher, and I just, save for a couple of specific television shows, Game of Thrones and some others, the Vikings and that sort of thing, I don't really watch a lot of TV at all. I just don't have time. I can't sit still that long. But, you know, they called me to be on this show. I got on this show. So I'm going to study, and I'm going to, when I get on that set, I want to be as prepared as I can be, not knowing exactly what's in that basket until I open it.
Right.
But I want to be able to, you know, so I'm looking at trends. What are they using? Are there ingredients that they repeat? Looking on websites and that sort of thing. So whatever it was, I knew what I was going to do with it at the time. And whatever segment of the show that was on, whether it was an appetizer or an entree or dessert.
Sure.
And going into the show, there was a couple things that I wanted to do. And some people want to do, you know, like they want to make a stew, they want to make an enchilada, they want to make a donut, they want to make a this and that. I had a couple things that, if I make it to the entree round, I'm going to do this. If I make it to the dessert round, I want to do this. And
now you have four categories.
There's three categories. So there's an appetizer round, which is 20 minutes. There is an entree round, which is 30 minutes. And then there's a dessert round, which is another 30 minutes. And when Ted says open the baskets and when he says go, you have 20 minutes or 30 minutes or 30 minutes. There is no pausing. There is no, I mean, it's crazy and it's pandemonium in that studio. And I will tell you this, it is very hard. It is an incredibly hard, it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Your mouth dries up.
Oh yeah.
And you are just in the zone. And you've got three other contestants that are on either side of you. And people are battling for the deep fryer. They're battling for a pantry ingredient. But everyone's a chef, and so everyone kind of moves out of each other's way. And if somebody has the mandolin, they will, you know, or somebody has the cumin, or somebody has the salt, or whatever.
Sure.
They will give it around. You bring your own knives, and that's the only thing that you can bring. That's it. Everything else is supplied. So it's crazy, and it's intense, but it is so much fun. It is so much fun.
Sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like more fun than I had when I did. So you have no idea what's, you know, in the basket, obviously,
right
before you open it.
Right.
But did you kind of, in your practice sessions, in your study jam sessions, did you say, okay, if I get whitefish and if I get egg noodles?
Sure.
Did you kind of?
Absolutely, I did.
Yourself,
There are, so going into some of the preparation, there are some websites out there for former contestants that give a little bit of glimpse of how the show's filmed and how it's run and some of the basket ingredients that they had. Obviously, it's all online, so you can see it in the shows that air. And there are trends with different ingredients that they'll use. They'll use specific ingredients. They'll use, for instance, they love to use what they call fried margaritas, or which is a really weird thing, which is basically like a cake.
Yeah.
It's a margarita flavored cake, or like donut holes or something.
Sure.
They'll use pitchers of drinks. They'll use black garlic. They'll use dragon fruit. They'll use a can of haggis. They'll use all kinds of weird things that they'll, but that's the whole point.
Right.
And, you know, going into this, I don't really believe that they randomly just throw four ingredients together and see what you can come up with. They actually can work in a certain way based on the pantry that they've got, the equipment that they've got on set to use. So you can, in the time frame, you can actually make something, and it's just a matter of how are you going to put it all together. And, you know, the judging is based on how good the food tastes, what it looks like, how creative you are with using the ingredients that you have. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's just something that they get out of the basket and use it as it is out of the basket, they're going to mark it down for that. They want it to be manipulated in such a way where it's just used in a very original kind of fashion.
Mm.
So, but going into this, yeah, you study quite a bit. You know, if I had, if I had black ice cream, like charcoal ice cream, which is kind of a trend now, I would use it this way. If I had lemonade, I would use it this way. If I had donuts, I would use it this way. And so I had an idea of going into it. So when you're there on set and they say go, you already have this like huge amount of ideas of what you're going to do. But then you don't know what's in the basket till you open it. So,
yeah,
you know, you have no idea. And then, but that's the fun of it, I think. And that's what makes it really difficult, because you can kind of change your mind last minute. And there was a couple of things that I kind of had in mind going into the show and going into each segment, but little tweaks here and there.
Sure.
I was going to change it out.
You know? I've done like the refrigerator challenges.
Sure.
Where you go in and you've got
yeah.
stuff and you don't know what's in there, mm-hmm. but you can do that. I think the hardest part, not to interject myself too much into this story, but the hardest part for me is the people that filmed the show I did, they obviously knew how to film. They knew all the technical stuff. But I think they were really flying by the seat of their pants on this show, you know, filming in Georgia, supposed to be in Texas. I've told you all that off air.
Mm-hmm.
And the producers were the ones that interfered the most
mm-hmm.
with the contestants. I wasn't the only one that got frustrated with them. But... And it doesn't seem like you had that at Chopped.
Yeah, no. First of all, the production company that does Chopped, I don't know if they exclusively do Chopped, but it seems like that's their main focus is Chopped. They've been doing it so long, they've got it all down. They've got a rhythm. All the sound guys know where they're supposed to be. The camera guys know where they're supposed to be. The producers know where they're supposed to be. Obviously, they have the judges that are there.
Mm-hmm.
They know what they're supposed to do. It's Ted is amazing. The guy is brilliant. He knows. He's just, to watch him do his thing, it's amazing. It's no question why he's so successful at what he does. He's a very, very bright guy. And to see what he does and how he speaks to the camera and what he does. And it is kind of scripted a little bit, but he can ad lib and the judges can ad lib a little bit. And based on what they see and based on what they taste and that sort of thing. So
good. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Lene right after this. Don't go away. You're listening to the Barbecue Nation Radio Network.
Well, my daddy left home when I was 3. And
hey, guess what? Welcome back. You're listening to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. We've got Lene Oxley.
Loop.
I don't want to say it wrong. Is what I'm saying.
That's okay.
Yeah. And she's got Sugar's Barbecue and Catering. We're going to talk more about that in a few minutes. Has being on these reality shows changed the way you do your own production, food production, either for the barbecue schools or the catering or anything?
Not in terms of the way that I produce my own food and the products. And
sure.
Not really, because the thing about these shows is that they're so fantastic. In other words, like they're way out of the normal.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Realm of everyday cooking and living, and you're under enormous amounts of pressure with time, ingredients, space, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. So they really put you in these very, very unique situations, and that's the whole premise of the show or shows. And but no, I love the freedom that I have to do what I do with my barbecue and what I produce and the clients and the customers that I produce it for. And there's nothing that I love more than doing tried and true traditional style barbecue. I love it. It's in my blood. I eat it and I just live it, and it's wonderful. However, it's wonderful also to be able to be on these shows and showcase the breadth of some skill level that I've got. Because sometimes barbecue can be a little one note, what I call one note, like,
right.
You know, one trick pony, salt, pepper, brisket, cook, salt, pepper, brisket, cook. You know, it's just the same thing again and again and again. But it's great because these kind of shows allow you to just really kind of like demonstrate the scope and see what you're made out of in the time constraints that you have with the limited products that you have to work with. So, but all in all, no, it hasn't really changed the way that I cook on a daily basis.
That's interesting. I think that in my work in doing the TV and all that stuff over the years, I think it's made me more efficient. That's about the only thing I can say. And I agree with you is that you don't want to get pigeonholed.
Mm-hmm.
After about the first two or three years of doing live television, I stopped doing barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't do it. For about 4 years, I wouldn't go back outside and do it. I would only do stuff in the kitchen, in the studio, because I didn't want to be known as the guy can only do something with a grill, you know, type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that. I get that.
Well, there's so many things that you can do with a grill. There's so many things you can do with a smoker, you know. And now the really big, home kitchen tool is sous vide. That's huge now. A sous vide machine, the thing you stick in the water and it circulates the water and it heats the water up at whatever temperature you set it. You can use it. You can control it with your phone. You control it with your computer, whatever.
Right.
Opens the door to a lot of different aspects of cooking to the home cook. No, you know, it's not about having to go to a fancy restaurant and using a $2,000 machine to do these things.
Right.
You can, for $99, you can go get one of these things and plug it in a bath of water and sous vide your steak for 45 minutes an hour and then fry it in a pan and have like the most perfect cooked steak.
Yeah.
Or chop or eggs or whatever have you. It's incredible. So I think playing around like that with the different ingredients, with the different tools that we have now available is just really great. Really, really, really great.
So, Lene, what's the most fun part about being on the show, or what did you enjoy the most?
What I enjoyed the most really was the thrill of being in front of a camera again, which I really love doing, and also just having that. It just sounds ludicrous, but I love the pressure of cooking like that, of being put on a stage. The cameras don't bother me at all. The sound people don't bother me. In this chop studio, you see the three or four chefs that are sitting there in their coats behind the line, you know, in those stainless tables with everything. But there is a gigantic room on the other side where there are must be 30 people, all with cameras and sound people and directors and producers and people holding up signs and lighting and things like that, where you don't see it on the TV show.
Right.
But they're there staring at you. Plus, you've got the judges that are staring at you, too, and they're talking about you. That, to me, is the most fun of the entire. And I eat it up. I absolutely love it. Absolutely. Win, lose, or draw, don't care. Love being on it. I can't wait to do it again, and it's a thrill. It's an absolute thrill. It just takes you out of the reality of the day-to-day, and it just kind of shakes the snow globe up a little bit.
Yeah.
And when you leave, you're supercharged with all these ideas and all this, a feeling of an accomplishment, which is really great. Again, win, lose, or draw, doesn't matter. It's the fact that you can do this and be on there and see what you're made of in a very specific, unique environment against other people that you may or may not know.
Sure.
And see what you can come up with. And that's what's fun about it.
Has it changed? I know it's helped your business because we talked about that before. But you ever get, I don't know how I would ask this question, so I'll just ask it straight out. You ever get kind of weirded out because you're like in a grocery store or you're in Fred Meyer's and somebody recognizes you and they're staring at you?
Sure.
That was something I had to learn.
I can be in an airport across the country. Somebody will recognize me. I can be at down the street at a store, in a mall.
Yeah.
They'll recognize me. In a restaurant, they'll recognize me. I mean, people see you. And I mean, with Barbecue Pitmasters, 2013 and 2015 when it aired, people recognized me from back then. And it's funny because people want to have a camera, you know, they take a photo or whatever, they shake your hand, and they remember you. They remember this show. They remember more than you remember about the show itself.
Yep.
Oh, we were voting for you. We were going for you. We thought you'd had it. We thought you took it, and we're really disappointed that you didn't take it, or congratulations, or whatever it is. And Stephanie, my wife, rolls her eyes when people do that, when they stop me and they want to photograph or whatever. They just want to shake my hand or something, which I think is a thrill. I think it's great. And the whole point of me wanting to do this is the same reason why I like to teach barbecue classes. And that is to teach and is to educate and to inspire some people to get up and do something.
Yeah.
I was inspired when I was younger to start cooking by my father, who recently passed away, and by my mom, and by people that I saw on television. And I was like, you know what? I want to do this. This is really cool. And so if I can inspire somebody, that's really great. Even in like the 30 minutes or the 1 hour that I'm on the show, whether it's one episode or six, it doesn't matter. If I can inspire somebody, other women, of course, but anybody, if I can inspire them, that's it. I don't care if I win or lose or whatever. It doesn't matter. That's cool.
I think that's the fun part.
It is.
That's been one of the fun parts about doing this radio show, was people will talk to you, or I have people email me at random. I mean, it's not too hard to find my email address.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll say, hey, how would I do this? Or I'm having problems.
Yep.
Or,
I get that all the time, you know, and I'm having problems with my brisket or my
chicken.
I don't have secrets. I'll tell you what's going on. It's not, you know, competitive barbecuing is a whole different world. Everyone's got their secrets, and which is really funny because everybody's using one of six different kinds of rubs that are out there, and injections and sauces and combinations thereof. And
it's not that big a secret.
You know, it's really not. It's just a matter of dialing in the right combination of flavors at the point and successfully cooking your product. And that's just what it boils down to, really. But it's really not that far out there.
Right.
But I get people asking me questions about barbecue all the time. And I'm always happy to walk somebody through it, or at least try to troubleshoot, you know, and this and that. And that's what I love about doing the classes that I do, which is wonderful, because I tell people that, well, I'm on my pellet cooker and my Traeger or whatever, and I'm just, my brisket's always drying out. Help me. And I'll be like, okay, well, these are things that you can try. These are things you can try. Try to troubleshoot them and try to figure out exactly what they're doing, and help them along. And it's really great when you're getting an email with a photo of saying, yay, I finally broke through and I don't have dry brisket anymore or overcooked ribs or something. It's just really great.
1 minute before we go to break here. What was the worst part
another
about
break?
Doing... Yeah, I got to.
Golly.
Commercial stuff.
Killing me.
What was the worst part about doing the show, if there was one?
Getting up at like 4 in the morning,
3:30
in the morning. I'm not a really super early morning person. And I like to just wake up organically, have my coffee, kind of get up. That was probably the worst part. And also, too, the longer you stay on the show, if you don't get chopped first or second or whatever, you're there for the entire day. And that can be a 14, 15-hour day. You are on your feet.
Yeah.
It is tiring. It is exhausting. They shoot a show in one day. It's not like this drawn-out two-day process. So it's long for everybody, the producers, the camera people, everyone's fatigued and everything. And they're pushing you because it's a show and they've got to, you know, you're under the gun and you have to perform. So that's probably the toughest part. One of my favorite parts, though, is meeting people from across the country and meeting these judges who I've seen on TV a few times and who I absolutely love.
Yeah.
And Ted is wonderful. And it's just a lot of fun to be on that show. It's intense and it's hard and it's crazy. Pressure-wise, but it's so much fun. If you can be on the show, get on the show. You'll have a good time.
All right. We're going to come back with Lene Oxley, Loop.
Mm-hmm.
How's that? Did I do it right this
time? You did.
And we're going to wrap up this week's edition of Barbecue Nation right after this. Don't go away.
We got married in a fever, hotter than a pepper sprout.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. We've got Lene Oxley.
Loop.
I love it. See, that, now we're working together. So when's your first segment air?
So the segment airs on Food Network Tuesday, January 9th.
Mm-hmm.
Pacific time is about 10 p.m. So you'll want to take a midday nap. to stay up for it. But please, please watch the show. I have not seen the show. So I will watch it the same time as everybody else.
Sure.
It will repeat a couple of different times during the course of the week, but that's when it actually airs the first time. And this is a four-segment show with a series finale, like a finale, a winner-take-all $50,000. So this is, they're calling it the Gold Medal Games, and it's all about mimicking kind of what you'd find in the Olympics because they have the Winter Olympics coming up.
Right.
And each segment showcases a different discipline. One is baking. One is speed rounds with abbreviated time frames for each segment. One is grilling, which is one that I'm on. And then one is baking or frying. And so baking, frying, speed, and grilling. And then the winners from each heat go head-to-head in the grand finale for winner take all of $50,000.
Well, good luck on that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You don't have any, like, because it's the Olympics, you don't have any, like, Tonya Harding-type person sneaking around with a baseball bat, do you?
No sabotaging on
this
show.
In the wings?
Yeah, if you're going to sabotage anybody, it's going to be yourself by not doing something you should have or doing something more than you should have or whatever. But no one's creeping around the corner with a jack stand.
Okay. So how can people find you and Sugars?
Sugars Barbecue. You can find me on Yelp at Sugars Barbecue Catering. You can find me on my website at www.sugarsbarbecue.com, SugarsBarbecue.com. My phone number's on there. You can call, text, email.
Carrier pigeon,
Raven. So I'm available all the time.
And
call me, text me.
And if you're your schools, tell us real quickly about your schools.
Yeah. So throughout the course of the season, as the schedule allows, we try to plan some barbecue 101 classes, just backyard barbecue pitmaster types classes.
Sure.
These are classes that are designed for the average Joe barbecue or weekend warrior kind of guy and person, woman that wants to just elevate their barbecue. They have maybe some troubleshooting. These are demonstration classes. I cook start to finish. You'll see me working on pellet cookers. You'll see me working on commercial smokers. You'll see me working on kettles. We cover a lot of things from brisket to tri-tip to pulled pork, chicken to ribs. I give you some championship secrets. It is not competition oriented, but it's just very kind of easy, user-friendly, 101 type classes that really kind of help the barbecue or elevate their barbecue and hopefully, again, going back to inspiring some people. So nothing's planned for this year coming up in 2018. We just relocated to our new place in Battleground. So once we get settled in, we'll have our schedule up on my website at www.sugarsbarbecue.com. So just keep on checking back. Hit me up on my contact information and I'll get you some dates and we'll get some dates settled.
Good.
So we can get some classes on the books. They're always a lot of fun. The full day of learning and eating and laughing and having a good time.
When you do a class, do they you supply the food, or do they bring their own proteins?
No, it's all spectators. So I'm cooking. I'm supplying the food. We feed you. We water you down a little bit. And so you're watching me. We talk about meat selection. We talk about preparation. We talk about times and temperatures, different seasonings to use, what I like. And then we troubleshoot lots of questions and answers. And, of course, you're going to be able to eat what I'm making. So you're going to, you know, I pull students up every once in a while to prep some things, to cut some things. But I try to fit quite a bit into a 7.5-8 hour day. It's a long day, full of information, but it's nicely paced and it's relaxing, and so I supply everything that you need. So you don't have to bring anything. Just bring
a pillow for naps.
Exactly, pillow at the end for naps.
And little naps.
Exactly.
Get your driver to take you home. Type thing. That's good. Lene, it's been great to have you back on The Nation.
Oh, Jeff, thanks so much. I love being here. It's a lot of fun. You're so sweet. Oh, you got a beautiful smile. Such a friendly guy.
Don't let that secret out now. It's Chopped. Check your local listings. If you have some weird satellite provider or cable guy, sometimes they run things different. But if you've got one of the normal ones, check Tuesday night, 10 o'clock.
Yeah, and for those people that don't have cable, you can find it. I believe the network, foodnetwork.com will air the previously aired shows. For a time. There was a show last night that aired on the 2nd, and I think it's up already.
Okay.
As soon as they air it, It'll be up. You can stream it.
There you go.
YouTube is not a good place for it. There's a lot of.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't think it's very reliable. So just go right to the network. I think they'll have it up there.
It's MoBetta.
MoBetta.
It's MoBetta there.
Yep.
We got to get out of here. So, Lene Oxley.
Loop.
Thank you. thanks for being with us. Check out Sugar's Barbecue, like she talked about. Check out Chopped on Tuesday night. And remember our saying around here, turn it, don't burn it. Check out my stuff on thecowboycook.com, and I will see you next week right here on Barbecue Nation.